Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can be with us again on another dialogue, national-based dialogue. And we certainly hope and pray that we all learn something at the end of our journey tonight for the next about an hour and a half or so. Over the last 80-plus years, the issues and conditions of urban America have evolved into what they are today. They began with socioeconomic strain and continue with the same today because the same people repeat the same habits in general from one generation to the next. Their subcultural disposition remains static. Now, oddly enough, there was a time when people have caused the latter to become buried. Okay? They were together, though, at one point. But something happened, and no longer are they together. Okay? So tonight we're going to be talking from the thought, how to bring back unity in urban America. How to bring back unity in urban America. You can give me a call here at 657-383-0944. I'd be happy to entertain your question or comments. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. This is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, a Nashville, Tennessee-based nonprofit organization, or the research arm of that organization. Bear with us. We got a severe thunderstorm warning here in our city, and I hope that our internet server is able to hold up. But if not, we'll continue. So again, the number to call us here, 657-383-0944. I'm going to open up our phone lines in just a little bit, but I will offer you somewhat of a background for our discussion tonight. I am sharing the one particular literary reference that I think is of importance, and hopefully, you know, just make a note of it in your leisure. You get a chance, read it. I think you'll find it to be a very informative read. But nonetheless, there we go. When we talk about bringing back unity, that's very, very important. And let me take a second just to recognize a few people on our Facebook. We are grateful for your participation there. Follow us on live on Facebook with our live stream. Angela, how you doing, darling? Tama, Roma is there with us. We appreciate her. And a few others. So let's see who else we got here. And then we get right into our monologue. It looks like we may have Lindsay, Miss Daphne, and maybe perhaps Catherine Booker, Brother Taylor, Ms. Finney, Reverend Horton. Hope you guys feel free to call in, 657-383-0944. A new member to our group, Ms. Shanklin, Katrina Shanklin, Tammy Smith, welcome. Willie Robinson, if you're tuning in with us, how you doing? 657-383-0944. Please join us in our conversation. We generally have some pretty good and spirited. I don't expect everybody to agree with me, and so I don't expect everybody to agree with one another. But I do expect us to be civil and to show courtesy to one another as we speak. And sometimes to get heated, you know, that's all right. That's how we do sometimes. That's just how we do sometimes. And that's a good thing, because I believe at the end of the day, we all can go away thinking about what we've shared, and perhaps we will learn something new. All right, without further ado, let's get right into it and open up our phone lines here. But before I do that, one announcement. Thursday, I have a campaign-related event, so Pastor Waller is going to be at the helm. Pastor Ricky Waller, you know him as our co-host, who's generally with us, and he'll be at the helm, and he'll be talking. You know, you heard him talk about change before, but he says that he's going to bring this thought. There is a change coming, and watch this. He said, get ready. I expect him to intimate that that for you, but he will be here Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. for Talk Straight, holding things down. Y'all get ready. Y'all be sure to call in and check in with him and participate with him. All right, we'll make that announcement again before we leave. This June 26, 2018, 7 o'clock p.m., how to bring back unity in urban America. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God? Whom he has not seen. Something related to unity in urban America there. I want to speak from the 1965 literary work, Should It Matter? He's a white man who wrote this book. Now, he was clever enough to go into the hood and to observe the social behaviors and patterns of black men deep in the hood of Chicago and other urban areas. And he wrote a book entitled Tally's Corner, A Study of Negro Street Corner Men, Legacy of Social Thought Series. This fellow by the name of Elliot Leibold is the author. And as I said earlier, he wrote this in 1965. These were his sociological observations of what he saw on the outside looking in. All right? Interestingly enough, here we are in 2018, roughly about 55 years later. And some of Leibold's observations still seem to ring true. What has changed? Why has it changed? Or why haven't certain other? Let's get into it. Let's look at it. Let's see. So, Tally's Corner, which is the title of the book, is a sociological classic used in many sociology classes, especially when you start talking about studying Afro-American subculture history, black Negro history, subculture. All right? And it was a compelling response to many, particularly our white brothers and sisters, about the culture of poverty and the basic thought that poor people are different according to some other folk who are of a different socioeconomic status. And some would argue that because of their conditions, they are morally inferior. In other words, these socioeconomic stressors cause them to do things and make them beneath other people. I don't agree with that. This is Tally's Corner, and we're going to get into it tonight. I can hear some folk already. Just stay with me. He offers an alternative explanation that black folk, Negro, African Americans, are caught in a tangled web or some sort of pathology, some disease that is linked to the absence of black men in families. Interesting. Now, y'all done heard me talk about this before, and I've done a little research on this, okay? Now, the debate continues to rage even in 2018 because, as I alluded to earlier, we have an issue where 55-some years later, black men are still absent. Too many of us, not all of us, but too many of us are absent, particularly in the lives of those who are most prone to get caught up in the street and their hustle. Okay? What Leibold's theory did, though, is cause many people to look at the value system of poor people, people in urban areas, and who come from the Afro or Black American experience, African American experience, right? Now, interestingly enough, this is a major area of study. Even today, we have Black Lives Matter that has evolved from it, though. Which brings us to a very, very interesting point and question. But before I get to that, Now, I will submit to you as a social scientist myself that there are three primary factors that led to the disunity of urban American communities as a whole. And here they are. These are the three that I submit to you. And I have enough of my own research to back this up. And that's okay. I mean, you may not agree with it, but just consider it. First, somehow, Negro, Black, and Colored folk have learned a certain divisive belief system or theology. What you mean, Dr.? Our religious practices are such that we're divided about what denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, apostolic, whatever you call it, right? And particularly so in urban America. If you go to many urban cities, and I've said this before, you will see that there are a plethora of religious bodies that call themselves churches. All say they're going to the same heaven, but yet they're divided in their worship experience. Some of them dare not go and visit one. We're talking about being a rock's throw distance away from one another. Which begs the question, what's going on? All right? Then there is this learned behavior relative to being corrupt or illegal in the manner in which you obtain the basic materials necessary to have a healthy, happy, so-called normal quality of life. It's about classism. And many people have done things not only to hate or hurt themselves, but to hurt their brothers and sisters. Under the guise, I'm trying to eat and live the American dream. Now, Pastor Wallace is very honest, and he'll tell you that he was caught up in that trap. But he's learned the nature of the trap and the name of the game. And now his intent is to turn that thing around. Man, I can't wait till we get into this discussion. This is about to be hot and heavy. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. The last thing, watch this, you all. This is the third rung of that. Those three things I think are primary factors that led to the disunity in urban neighborhoods. Now, some people don't like me saying urban. Why y'all in there? That's where I'm from. I know those people. I come from those folks. And if I'm going to get anything straight or improve anything, I'm going to take you home. The Bible said that judgment begins in the house. Can I get a witness? I didn't come to preach. I'm not going to preach. Not tonight. We ain't going to raise no offering. But y'all stay with me, okay? Now, lastly, the third thing is systematic breakdown. And this is what one of the thesis of, hey, Connor, this is one of the thesis of Leibold. He suggests, correctly, I believe, that there is a systematic breakdown in the nuclear family unit. This has led to these other issues with our babies out in the streets, always having negative confrontations with law enforcement and even other public venues. Somehow there are no fathers to teach their sons and daughters who they are, what their purpose is, and where every day they should be focused on going and doing what they should be doing. All right? Now, when you think about it, there was a time when the poorest people in urban America, black folk, they were very tight-knitted. They stuck together. If somebody couldn't pay their rent back in the day, they would have sack lunch parties where they fix all this food, everybody come back, and the proceeds go to paying for your neighbor's rent. That's how close they were. They looked out for one another. What happened to that, right? For instance, brothers, people talking about brothers don't go to, listen, we know something about communion. I mean, watch this. There was a time, and I grew up, I'm old enough to, and this is part of my experience, when brothers would be low on funds, everybody broke. Ain't got nothing but change and dust in their pocket, right? Well, they all congregate on the corner. And this is what Leibold talked about, the Tally's Corner. And when they congregate on the corner, again, everybody ain't got much money, but they will nickel up enough to get a cheap bottle of Crown Royal, Boone Farm, or maybe Wild Irish Rose, whatever your taste is. Huh? Whatever they can afford. They put enough money to get it together. And watch this. Watch this. They passed that one bottle around to everybody drinking out of it. They weren't thinking about nothing, no saliva, anything. They were able to look past that. They were one then. They were unified. Are y'all walking with me? And they would drink that thing up to the last drop. Now, when the bottle got around to the last cat on the block, on the corner, passing around in that brown paper bag, or maybe that Crown Royal purple bag. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look, the last cat get the last corner. Somebody gonna holler, hey, man, you gonna kill it? Y'all know what I'm talking about. So that was a time when we were together. The question is asked, though, when did urban communities lose their unity? This little fella right here called himself Lunez, and I don't think he understands where he got this from, but this concept that he's singing about came from what I just described. Cats hanging on the block, trying to find unity and love one another. Listen to him for a second. Creep on in, on in, on in. Creep on in, on in. See, I'm riding high, high. Whoa. Kind of broke to leave in yards, so give me some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that likes to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S-S-T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So pass it across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. It's on, wrap my lips around the pony. And when it comes to getting another soggy, fools all kicking like Shinobi. Homie ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many hands to be popping and let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy $5 bill on the real before it's history. The fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them in, it will bring you well the dumb. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the slick teasers. Ski
heathens and weirdos. Got me throwing off the land like with a bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homie snagged me to take the dank out of the bag.
I got
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruby Dot. We're about to get right on into it tonight. I want y'all to help me now, and I want somebody to tell me, explain to me like I'm 3 years old. How did we lose unity in the hood? We done took the neighbor out the hood, and all we got now is a low-down, dirty hood. We got 1098 in the house with us. We got Brother Don out of Selma, Alabama. Welcome, Don. How you doing?
Doing all right. How you doing?
Mighty fine. Mighty fine. And then there is 3072, Pastor Waller. You know she all in the house. And I know she got something to say. So she got something to say. Yep. How you doing, 3072?
Awesome. Awesome.
Good, good, good. 1098, what do you say, brother?
What about your monologue? You know, I have plenty to say about that.
Come on,
you know,
do, man. Come on, get with me.
In 1965, I was 7 years old. Believe me, though, what you call the good old days. You know, selling the Coke bottles, the beer bottles, the pipe of beer bottles. They were worth a nickel. One never broke. One never broke. I always had plenty of junk food to eat. Now, this observation that this white guy did, I guess when he was around in the neighborhood, unless they couldn't see him, I guess he was Negro. My question is this. Why didn't he go into urban white America and look at some of those white guys that were standing on the corner or whatever? Now, why didn't he go to some of these rural counties? Why didn't he go to some of these mountain cities where them hillbillies were and see how they lived?
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I guess in 1965 it was okay to write a book and ask about Negroes, you know.
Right.
I mean,
there
was acceptable during that period of time, you know what I'm saying? We give you a blue ribbon for going down there talking about those Negroes like that.
Wow.
I don't buy that. And I don't want to accept that. Why didn't he go to some of them poor crackers again in the rural cities and do an observation? See, if I'd have ran into him, I saw him. So, you Negro file, right? Running straight up out the neighborhood and my whole left.
Okay.
I don't agree with that.
I understand. All right. I knew this was going to be a hard one, Outcast. And listen, watch Don. Here comes Don. Here comes Don now. Here you go. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead, Don.
No, but I kind of agree with him. I was born in rural America. Now, guess what? He right. You know what I'm saying? You don't never analyze the good old boy. But you're always analyzing the brother.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So,
like
what goes on in rural America, I've been out there with the good old boy. He don't do no more than the brother doing the corner on the street.
What?
Yeah. That's it.
Sometime worse.
That's right.
A lot of times.
You got more than that taking care of their babies than you got black. You know what I'm saying? You got a whole lot of them out there. More of them out there household black people.
Okay, hold on,
guys.
Talking. I'm going to ask you a question now, guys.
Just let me calm
That's
down.
A good
let
question.
Me calm
I'm
down. I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet.
No.
Hold
your
own. Hold your own. Hold your own.
Pastor Waller, what do you say about that, man?
You know, you got it started, brother, and I think it was just tuning in and recalling. You know how it is when the word of God said, "And this I recall to my mind, therefore have you." So he went in and he was able to reach back, man, you understand, and bring it on what's going on right now, man. I thank God for such an opportunity to, number one, thank everybody for tuning in.
Absolutely.
And notice you're talking about where's the unity at. You know, I like to, to tap into just that on how apparently we was all coming up during those times and recognizing from the north, south, east, and the west, it was all a style of togetherness, you know. And in knowing that, you know, how can you now think about the lifestyles today? Where is it coming from? What's causing the lifestyle of division to take place in our communities now. And so we need to get back into the swing.
That's right.
Like it used to be, because nickeling up, whether it was with a $3 bag of marijuana or like it was with, well, that's what we would do. And I heard the song say, I got five on it.
Watch out, man.
And so when you think about those things and you think about the positive things that used to go on with the parents and how they could send you down three doors from where you stand in the project and knock on someone there, you understand what I'm saying, without making a phone call. And
Right.
She sent me over to get some butter or some sugar or some salt or whatever it may be, you know. Hey, man, that's just a wonderful way of thinking. But what happened? What happened to the power of unity?
Wow.
And it had to be a pain. It had to be a pain, you see, because there's nothing like the love that it brought forth, man. That was a powerful form of love. And, you know, when I think about that today, we got to get that back in existence.
Yes, sir.
And can...
Yeah, go ahead. 30-72. You know you step in.
All right. So I was just going to add an experience. Today I went to work and I sat in the emergency department where we get a lot of mentally disturbed people. We had a young brother that come in. He was all of the age of 20, 22. He jumped out of a moving car.
Oh, boy.
So they just classified him as crazy. Well, I know crazy when I see it. Crazy was not him. Crazy was his situation. He jumped out for safety.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, they were ready to commit him and do everything. While I agreed he needs to be committed, but you need to get to the bottom of why he needs to be committed and to be safe. So anyway, while everybody else was focused on this crazy, I was focused on the inner, deeper part of crazy. Right. So we were able to communicate, and I was glad that, man, that was a wise decision for you to jump out of that car at that time, or your life could have been ended either way. However, your life was saved by you jumping out of this car, and now you're here with us. We can get you further help. Some counseling maybe, and some safety away from anybody that's looking to harm you for a few days at least. I don't know what's going to happen when you get back out there, bruh.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Right, right. So, right, back to the communal part of things. Right, that's what we used to do. We used to take the time to go in depth, to look further into situations, to figure out and not just put a stigma or classification on each and everybody in every situation, because they're all different. They're individual.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what community is. It's going deeper, and it's going more in depth.
So, okay, that's an interesting point. Now, let me respond to Outkast's very, very important question. First of all, how did he get in the hood long enough to stand around brothers and record their behaviors?
That's where he lives.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, Outkast, we've always, Afro-American, Negro, Black, color folk, have always been loving and open arm, right? And
some of us, depending, you know, it all depends on the
we've learned
you know, it all
one
depends
another.
On who you run across in that hood. what I mean by this. If he had been a white man in the hood like that, hey, even a little 7-8 year old of my age, what is that white man doing around here? Who is he, the police?
That's right.
Need to get away from around here.
So
you
hold
know
on
what
one
saying?
Second.
I was in Cookies, ain't going to get him.
Okay.
You're going to get robbed and killed.
That's right.
I'm with you. We got 404 tuning in with us, 3205. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're talking about how to bring back unity in urban America. Before I get started, question or comment?
No, just ready to listen.
Okay, all right. Good deal. Thanks for joining. So I was responding to one of our callers, and he made a great point. He says, you know, why didn't this sociologist observe the social behaviors of rural America or some of the urban communities, the Irish, the Italian, or some of the right. There were poor Jewish communities back in 1965, right?
Yeah.
Well, in 1965, Outkast, a senator by the name of Patrick Daniel Moynihan, he wrote a scathing proposal to Congress, and he says that if you want to help black people with their plight, empower the black man to own his own business or to control money so that he can take care of his family. Guess what Congress did? They did the exact opposite when they created new welfare rules and guidelines, and they empowered women to do that, and it excluded the black man out of the family through policy, federal policy.
Okay.
Well, somebody had to come in and check on what was going on. So it was acceptable for a white man, a black woman, or a white woman to come in with a notepad, standing around taking notes and what have you. In their minds, okay, that's just the government who's giving us this money. We got to go along with that to keep the money coming. You follow what I'm saying out there? So it opens the door to a whole lot of
I hear that. I hear that. I hear that.
Now, what I would ask,
I'll respond later if you let me.
Yes,
I'll respond, you know. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go
let me just finish this thought, and then I'll listen to you. But what I would ask, though, Outkast, is why is it that more of us that were not documenting what we saw and what was our real experience? And I've said this before. We have a tendency to do things creatively and just walk away from our creativity like it didn't mean nothing. Somebody else come right behind us, just like Libo did, and document our experience, and all of a sudden they're the expert on our sociological makeup. Go ahead, Alvin.
Well, I remember coming up in the 60s, the black neighborhoods, which the city of Memphis, you know, it was still highly segregated. But within those neighborhoods, you had a lot of blacks that owned businesses, including mechanic shops, things in that nature. The Jews have always been in the neighborhood with the black, the Jews, and the Chinese, or whatever you want to call them. But, you know, there were a lot of black businesses. But I noticed as time went on, black businesses all of a sudden just start disappearing. You know,
That's right.
And a lot of the Jews, you know, that own businesses in those very neighborhoods, whether it been North Memphis, South Memphis, or whatever, they started disappearing. It was a dramatic change that went on during that period of time. But the thing is this. I do understand the welfare system comes up a whole lot. But the welfare system was put in place for a reason and a good reason. But as we know, that has been abused. Now, I do realize that some women had no choice but to stay on it. Later on, got disability, you know, for different illnesses and things like that, which me ain't getting that now. But what I'm saying is this. The government does do good things, and also they do bad things. But my point is still this. Why, you know, this was 1965, okay, still down on the Negroes, you know, African Americans or whatever you want to call themselves. But, you know, I don't agree with anything that he wrote. Now, like I stated, if he was down there in Memphis, believe me.
I want to challenge.
Hey, he would have been in trouble.
Hey, Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir, go ahead, Don.
He would have been in trouble.
Tomorrow, Bernard Lafayette, who worked in the 60s with my dad, would be here tomorrow. And the problem that I see today is snatching crumbs from the master's table. They're getting grant money with, you know, they don't have no love. They're getting grant money. And it's like you're getting it for self, but you're not economically enhancing the people. That's what
now,
I see, Mr. Doctor.
Who are you saying receiving the grant money? Because, you know,
Dr.
Wall and I run nonprofits, and we're seeking money. Is there anything wrong with the nonprofits getting the money? What exactly?
I didn't say that, Mr. Doctor. I'm saying that was in certain circles are getting resources to keep the rest of them blind.
Can I?
Yeah, Mr. Doctor, you brought it up.
Go ahead, 3072.
And that was a point that I was trying to make many weeks ago. Exactly. There is absolutely nothing. I think it's beautiful for nonprofits to function and exist within our communities, especially when they are like us. They are us. Hey, now the problem comes where, like somebody once said, I stand to make a lot of money off of this, and that's all their focus is their money that they stand to make, not the difference that they proclaim or they promise to make within that community. That's where the problem lies. And right, they are there. They are there and given green paper money to keep other people in the blind.
Okay, well, now, hold on one second.
That's all.
Hold on one second. I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for a second, all right? I remember Jeff Ford, who was the founder of the L. Rookins in Chicago. He was able, at that time, Carter was the president, and he was giving out grants to deal with gangs and things of that nature, right? Well, Jeff Ford worked with this Presbyterian preacher, and he was able to get a $500,000 grant. Reportedly, I wasn't there, but reportedly, Jeff Ford got the check, went and cashed it, put it in a briefcase, and he would walk around with it, all the cash in the briefcase. And somebody said, oh, man, come on. You didn't put that in the bank, and you got to manage that, and you got to run your operation fund. Of course, you know
and
he.
That was a lot of money for that time. Yeah.
It was.
Oh, my
but
God.
But my question is.
Wow.
Jump in here, Don and Outcast and Pastor Waller. My question is, did he misappropriate that opportunity?
Yes,
to make
obviously he did. Yes.
All right, hold on. Hold on one second. Thank you, 72. What about that, Outcast? Then you go, Don.
I back off on that one. Don go.
All right, Don. How about it, Don? You want to take a stab?
Mr. Dockery, I'm going to be very honest with everybody. You know, when my dad, and matter of fact, when Bernard come tomorrow, I got a problem with Bernard, Diane Nash. I got to be honest with everybody. I got a problem because in 1987, I was on the South Side with my L. Rookin brothers. And I got to be honest with everybody that I wrote for Jesse's picture that, you know, he claimed he had some of Dr. King blood sprint on shirt. I went down to get the picture, and a young lady was with me named Janita Cigar paid for the picture. So I go down and get the picture, and we had a meeting about that picture. And General Kabar came. General Kabar is one of the founders of the L. Rookins. So I've been around those brothers. And what I'm going to say is this, Mr. Dockery. At that point, they hadn't, what you could say, evolved. That's what I can say.
Absolutely.
They hadn't evolved. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And guess what, Mr. Dockery? Because then later on, guess what, Mr. Dockery? I found the Morris Divine National Movement.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead. You're making a good point. I was going to add, if I might, to the fact that around the same time, you had factions of little groups that were labeled as gangs, but what they really were little in neighborhoods of young guys trying to make a way for themselves. Okay? In fact, the Vice Lord, Thurston Goose, was one of the founders of the Vice Lord over in what they call the Holy City and on the West Side. Their attempts were simply to try to improve the quality of living for their blocks and their neighborhoods. I say that to say that without the right guidance, guess what? You're not unified in some sort of vision, some sort of focus. All kind of opportunities can come, and you miss them. And that takes me back, son, to the monologue where I was talking about those three factors. One of them is the fact that we did not have a unified definition of what it means to be a father and a man in the black community. In fact, social policies degraded that whole concept. Then we add to the fact that theologically, we were not moving toward men finding themselves, Pastor Waller, in God and identifying themselves from that point, right? That was a problem, right? And then they got caught up in the hustle when drugs became available and they were distributed to black folks.
And can
then
I say something?
Get into prostitution and everything else. And what happened? The whole community imploded, broke down, destroyed. And today in 2018, we got young people
Little girls carjacked now. Little girls, man.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Ain't that something, Al-Kan? Yeah,
I wanted to say something. I wanted to say something because you brought back a memory when you were talking about sociology. I remember when I was in college and I was doing sociology. It was an observation now, similar to what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was this group of guys, and this person was observing them. Every morning, they would be on the corner, congregating and things of that nature. Now, onlooking. You would think at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning that these guys should be, you know, heading to a job or something like that.
Right.
But guess what?
Yeah.
Those guys worked at night.
Ah.
Something similar to what you were talking about. Now, I remember in college, in a sociology, we read about that, and we studied
okay.
that. And it all did with observations, something similar to what you're saying now. But what I'm saying is I'm I'm old school. I tell the truth, I chain the devil. I analyze things, and I'm very philosophical. I want to know why, you know? I want to know why you didn't go to the Jews, the Gentiles, or whatever. How come you just didn't observe everybody come and lay it on the table? And I hope
consider that when you realize it, now the Italians were poor too, the Jewish community was poor, and the Irish communities were poor, and many of them were receiving public assistance. But nobody like African Americans found themselves totally outcast, dependent on the public welfare system.
And
not everybody.
Tonight.
Hold on one second. Tonight, 37. I'm coming right to you. But specifically in urban America, there was a tremendous tendency. And because they were so dependent, they went along to get along, Al-Kan. So a lot of things they didn't question or challenge, just so that they can keep the opportunities coming. Does that make sense? I'm not saying it's right, but does it make sense?
Yeah. I understand. You know, I mean, but
3072 was trying to say something. I'm sorry.
Mr. Dockery.
Hold on 1 second, Don. Let me get 3072 and then we'll talk to you.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead. I yield the floor.
All right, Don, you got the floor.
I'm from rural America. And you know what's always been shocking to me, you know, living outside of Nashville? Why is it that the African Americans in Nashville don't connect with the rural? I always wondered that.
Well, there's a reason for that, Don. And you talk about Nashville. Historically, after the Civil War, a lot of artisans and crafted people from the rural came to Nashville, Don. There's a professor at Tennessee State University, Dr. Bobby Lovett. He wrote a book about the history of blacks in Nashville and how they helped develop and grow the city. And he does an excellent job of explaining. And Dr. Mitchell, he was my advisor as a history major at Fisk. He wrote a book as well, similar to it. And they talked about how the fact that they came looking for opportunities. I mean, these were some of your more skilled people from the country, from the rural area. And I would say that when we left outcasts from the South during the last wave of migrations in the 50s and what have you, we brought a lot of skill, a lot of talent, but somehow we got locked into those urban neighborhoods, those ghettos, and we lost.
Right.
Now, not everybody, but many people lost sight on our greatest gift, man,
and
we've evolved to where we are today.
I agree.
All right. Yeah. I'd like to add, I mean, it goes back to biblical principles as Pastor Waller, he speaks about the Bible, and I totally agree with him, how you must make it applicable to your everyday life. So you were asking the question, Outcast, on why they scrutinize us. So, man, we under the microscope. You know why? Other people, they do what the Bible say, whether they read it or not. They stand fast to what their belief within their communities are. We are so easily guided and easily led astray by any and every idea. We're in calamity. We're in confusion So therefore, we can't stand as one. There's no solidarity, and therefore we don't have just a direct plight to bring to the table for them to take knowledge to us to say, hey, let's look at what this community is actually saying. Maybe they're on to something. No, because we're going in so many different angles and directions.
Interesting.
We're not even taken seriously. It's a joke.
Okay.
Lock them animals up. They're sick.
Wow.
They're vicious.
No,
they're this. They're that. Right. But but the other community. Yeah.
You know, but go ahead. You have people like you have people like Reverend Waller. You have people like Reverend Dockery. You have people like yourself that are trying to steer people in the right direction.
Sure,
and then you'll have someone else come up and say, no, this is not right. You should go this way.
But
like Reverend Dr. Yancey mentioned the church of the day, and then they just broke up and opened up so many different dominations.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say 1098, I did hear him. I did hear him, and I totally agree with him. But the problem is, you stated, our voices seem to be so small, so quieted, so unheard, because what's popular? The negative voices, the people that are getting the grants for $4 million, for $20 million, for this amount of million, to hush, to be quiet, to be quiet, but just sit there in the community and observe, and I'll keep giving you money. That's
$6 million to keep quiet.
So Reverend Dockery and Pastor Waller or anybody else that's honestly trying to speak a voice of reason, we can't be heard because we're hushed over the money.
Thank you.
Let me let Pastor Waller
know. The thing is, right here, they are not receiving the money. The ones that's keeping up all the noise, they're the ones that getting the money because they are doing a distraction and leading them astray.
Exactly.
Reverend Dockery never not get the money.
That's my point. That's my point.
Now, concerning
Vaccine Waters, Jesse Jackson, Rose Sanders.
Hold on, guys. Y'all talking over Outkast. Let them finish. Then y'all, then we get everybody. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Outkast. Go ahead.
Now, speaking of nonprofits, nonprofits have came under the microscope here in Nashville, Tennessee. So-called city councilman was up there talking about it, talking about giving different organizations money. Well, do they deserve the money? Well, the ones that deserve the money, like Reverend Waller and Reverend Dockery, they have not been receiving a penny. It's been those yannies that's been getting the money. Let me shut up.
Agreed. I I'm right there with you because I've been on the front battle lines with one of them at least, and I won't say who. But yes.
Okay. All right. Don, you were going to say something, then we got to hear from Pastor Waller because y'all talking all about that man. Go ahead, Don.
That's all we have been true for Middle Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of strange to me that we had a large African-American population in Nashville, and we never had a mayor. We never had a congressman.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
you
strange.
Had
everybody
gentry.
Else did,
you
but
had
Nashville.
Gentry.
We ain't never.
Hold on 1 second, Thursday.
Vice mayor.
He was a vice mayor. Go ahead, Don. Finish your thought.
He telling the truth, though.
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of sad. You know what I'm saying? No, it just to me, it's kind of sad. And you know what I'm saying? And the sad part, Mr. Doctor, like I said, I have always wondered why the urban Nashville never come out to the country. Because I'm in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can come out there where we at. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. All
I'm wondering why that's so.
Okay. I got you. Pastor. Talk to me, man. What's up with this stuff, man? What's really going on?
Yeah, that's probably in what we're talking about, and I enjoy hearing people bring it to the table because I personally have done a whole lot of work without money and a lot of things accomplished. And so I always imagined what it would be like with money. And as you all have been speaking, 3072 and Outkast, about me standing in the need for finances and what could happen with finances, because I do know now what I didn't know back then. And the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, and that's why some people who get the money get distracted and don't know what to do.
Lord.
Go about doing it once it enter into their hands. And I like that. But the Bible does say, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a trap.
Yep.
And see, when they fall into that trap, I mean, that at that point, you know, it's hard to get up out of the trap and they start doing foolish and hurtful things. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And so it goes on further. You know, it goes on further. Listen to this, though. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. That they be minded, and that's what a lot of them are. Nor trust in uncertain riches, and a lot of them do.
So, Pat,
can I say?
Hold on.
But this is what the Word of God said in the ongoing process of it. It says they should be able to be ready to give. You know, to give in such a way. But it says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Willing to communicate with people that's standing in the need. Now, are they doing that? Outcast, you said it, brother. No, they're not. Because I know that I've been qualifying or well qualified to get the finances, and I wonder myself, why haven't they brought the finances toward me? Even though I'm still humble about it, and I'm believing God knows what he's going to do. But, yes, I think a lot of them get distracted, and that's the power of money. And let me say this, and I'm going to turn it over. God made sure that he needed me with no money at all. And after me having all that money, he knew he was going to get his best out of me without money.
Yes, Lord.
He said, if you're faithful over little, you know you'll be faithful over much. So much had to change
you,
but I'm expecting. Amen.
Yeah.
But I'm
hopefully that'll praise God. Okay, 37
yes,
right here. Go ahead, Thursday.
Yeah,
say?
And I was just going to piggyback off of what Pastor Waller was saying. So what if you guys were in a larger city? Man, do you know how many people have been killed that was in politics? Preachers as well as congressmen, aldermen, senators, and all that other stuff. Right. Why? Because of the root cause of money. Money. When you get that money, that Bible told you, man, when given much, dude, much going to be required of you. And it may be some things that you're not going to agree with. But, again, it's hush-hush. So if you're not with the hush-hush, don't accept the funds.
Yeah.
Well, now,
don't do it.
Hold on now.
Okay, go for it.
Back up now. Y'all put me in the corner now.
Go for it.
Y'all done went too far now. No. I think you're making a valid point. 3072. I was going to ask Pastor Waller, does it matter if the elected official, as 32 is alluding to, is African American, black? Does it matter if they're not adequately sharing and distributing the resources so that in an equitable manner? Does it matter if they're black or white, Pastor Waller?
Well, no. And that's the thing. It's about what's in your heart. Because if you're genuinely appreciative of being rich, for instance, and then you are ready to distribute, that means that you have a heart and you are not thinking color.
You're thinking,
and you ready to distribute, because that was a man, and I'm going to turn it right to you. That was a man. I don't know what color he was, but he climbed up into a tree one time because he wanted to see the Lord Jesus as he was coming by. He didn't want to talk to him. He just wanted to see him. But he was wealthy, and he just wanted to see the man that he's been talking about. But notice what he did once he got a chance to come down out of that tree and hook up with him, the first thing he did was confess. He told the Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. He had a heart to give. I don't know what color he was.
Yeah.
But he said he wanted to give. He got to the point where he even said something like this. Go ahead.
The sociologist of that time, Josephus, described him as being short, ruddy, and nappy hair. So that sounds like somebody looked like me.
I wanted to say that, but I don't want nobody to think I was discriminating. You understand?
That's how he describes people of the region now.
See, the man had a heart, brother. And when he came down, is the part I like when he started confessing. And then he even said, for anybody that he's done wrong to, he said, I want to get him four times as much. Could you imagine? You know, the heart that this man had. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Some of them who have been wrong four times as much as I've taken from them. See,
yeah.
I knew then that that was a humble man.
And a preacher right there.
Yeah, he wasn't no hunch up, man. He was ready to talk and say it loud. I'm ready to turn my life over, and I'm going to be glory to God.
He was kind of like you back in his day. He was the man that was handling the business on the block. You understand?
Yeah,
and honestly,
yeah, it was
that's
sad.
How it should be. I mean, we have all that we need. What more can we ask God for other than you got what you need? Lord, help me get me to give somebody else what they need. That's all. That's my plight in life.
You kind of ran my blood pressure up when you were talking about preachers and politicians getting killed over money. I said, wait a minute, now you're stepping on my toes.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Well,
it's definitely true.
So let me do this. Pastor Wilder, look at the time, dude. we got a few more minutes. Let me bring us to our last section. I want to talk to Don for a second on this one. We had Angela on the line with us, and I think we lost her. But if she's still listening, call us back, Angie. Don, this kind of messed me up. And these are the OJs. And I shared this once before. Don, this is what they say. Listen to what they say just for a second. I'm gonna move up just a little bit.
When I can't even, I can't never depend on you. How can you call me brother? You still cheat and you lie, cheat and you lie. Oh, how can you call me brother when you can't even look me in my eyes? I'm telling you,
Don. I better stop that right there, Outkast. I better stop that right there. Don. Don. How you gonna call me brother, man? And every time I look around, somebody's snatching my cookies off the table. And you don't have one there. Explain it to me like a
three-year-old. Explain to you like you're 3 years old? Mr. Dockery, like I said, it's real deep. And guess what? Like I said, Bernard Lafayette's supposed to be here tomorrow. And I'm going to be honest with everybody. You know, like I said, those ones that get the grant money, I wonder why they get it, and then I wonder why other folks don't get it. Like you said, deserve
it.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. All right?
Yes.
So I don't know why that's so, but that's going on. And that's exactly what I see right now. I got to call it like I see it.
Okay. All right. what about that, Outkast? Shouldn't we want to refer to one another? The Bible said, when thou art strengthening, strengthen the brethren. Is that right? Why we can't call one another brothers, Outkast?
Well, you know, I mean, every man for himself, you know, what they're saying. Here's a good one, There is no honor among thieves.
Wow.
No, sir.
Yeah, there's
no
honor among thieves.
Wow.
Give you nothing.
No, sir.
If I see a chance, I'm going to take what you got. I'm going to keep it moving like you stated. 80 years ago, from 80, what happened? Oh, every man for himself.
The response to my own question, guys, is the third factor, the second factor that I outlined. And that is the fact that somehow, and I say this respectfully to brothers and sisters, somehow we've learned to be corrupt, to be underhanded, and not only hurt our brothers, but to hurt ourselves in the process. Too many guys keep their women and children as their punching bags, and as the people that's supposed to accept their foolishness. And then when your brother comes, and he or she don't want to take your foolishness, you're ready to go to war with them.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, where did we learn that from, Pastor Waller? How do we learn to be so destructive toward one another?
And that's the thing that I really like to put emphasis on, you know, what caused that to take place. It was an intentional plan. When you separate the position and place authority over the woman with the man not having a say-so,
wow.
It breaks down. You see, when you break down the order, it's with an intent. Plan, you know, plan to do harm. You know, when you call something a conspiracy,
yes,
that means you make it, it's a plot, plot to do harm. So
okay.
Who are they plotting to do harm to? And I know we can pick ourselves out of that and make it known that it's not something to take lightly. So it's time to make a stand. And, you know, when I, and that's 37:2 say I do enter into the Bible or not now that I know. And when I seen something in there, I said, man, the word of God said that God is no respecter of a person.
Yes.
So I said, why bowing down to another man to do what he demands me to do when this is the day that the Lord has made?
Okay.
And so if
okay.
I have the right to choose, you know, who I'm going to serve, who I'm going to bow down to. Other than that, I might as well check out. And that hush hush thing that we were speaking about, you know, that hush hush thing, man. She said it plain. 37:2 said it plain. Say sometimes when people step up and do the will of God, it's a price. Are you willing to pay the price to do the will of God?
Yeah.
And believe me, whatever it takes for me on this day, I can only say it'll be much better than what I used to do and who I used to serve. Because to serve and to corrupt my community like I did, I never want to do that again. So they might as well realize I'm not getting ready to bow down and hush up when I've done all this harm to my community. You see what I'm saying? That's a humble way of explaining it. And I have a right to. If I did something to destroy my community, I know I have a right to go back and try to restore it.
Gotcha.
Without the money, you know what I mean? My effort is still going to be the same. So.
And I think Pastor Waller made a good point. I mean, even like you said, back to the trap. Even for those that have awakened out of the sleep, it's like they're put back into the sleep with the grant money. Okay?
You
redeem yourself. You're not out there. You're not pimping women. You're not selling drugs, and you're not infiltrating, you know. However, now we got this money. You know the truth. You know. Because God has convicted you. However, now, God, what am I going to do? Am I going to settle for the riches within myself? Or am I going to actually try to redeem myself with you and this community?
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's an all-around trap.
I want to go back to Nehemiah and how Nehemiah had a job in the king's court, in the king's house. And the king said, Nehemiah, what's wrong, man? We ain't paying you enough? He said, no, good salary. What about your 401k? Your 401k, it's all right, it's straight. What about you, you know, you got a little mad money on the weekend, you and your old lady go, oh, we good. He said, well, what's wrong, man? Why are you around there with your head hung down and a droopy, sad face? He said, Jerusalem is in ruin. And my people are suffering. I can't be happy if they ain't happy. You know what? That has such a pull on the king, the wicked king's heart, that the text that said the wealth of the righteous is stored, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And guess what he turned around and did out, man? He said, here, take this money down there and go rebuild Jerusalem, man. Doggone, if it's bothering you that bad, it's got to be a problem.
Yes, sir.
Another thing. 31:72. You said a magic word when you said grant. Well, when you get grants, Reverend Dockery, you can elaborate on this more. You need good grant writers to get those grants, right?
You preach it now.
Good now. Come on now, 72. Now you bring it on now, you know what I mean?
Come
when you said grant, and I want Reverend Dockery to elaborate on
the positions of grant writers. You need good grant writers to get those grants. Is that not true, Reverend Doctor?
I'm so glad you said that.
Bring it, Reverend Doctor. Bring it.
Well, now, y'all didn't like George Bush, but guess what he did? He sent $50 million for faith-based initiatives just to Tennessee, and they were trying to put a good portion of it in Davidson County. So they had these two sisters that came from D.C. to teach the people, the preachers and the faith-based people, how to write the grant outcast and meet the benchmark for the request for proposal. That means you have to not only say what you're going to do, but you have to demonstrate how you're going to evaluate your effectiveness. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I won't call no name. But one of the fellas got up and told the black lady, he says, "You don't have the moral authority to tell us what." She said, "Listen." She said, "Look here now. And I sent all this money here, and I'm trying to help you to get it." I had to tell a man, "Sit down, dude. Be quiet. Mess it up all of us." Do you know that they sent the vast majority of that money back because not enough people qualified for it? Now, what could we have done in Nashville, Davidson County with that money?
But why didn't they qualify?
Because they were
too... Come on, authority.
What were the qualifiers?
Come on, authority. Did you hear it?
Okay. Well, 3072, too many of them didn't know they left you from their right. But they didn't want to learn nothing. That's outcast point. Now, ain't nobody going to just give you no money for you to just mess it around, man. But we've got to position ourselves to be accountable.
But let me ask you this.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, and I mean, that is funny because, right, in this world, honestly, they don't have the moral authority because half of them morally are not judging and giving the grants morally.
Well, now,
they're giving it based
now.
They're giving it based on what you put on that paper that's black and white that go with their code, of ethics. This is what we say you should do, and you're in congruence and alignment with this, so we'll grant that. So, he insulted them by telling the truth. Go ahead.
These were two black women who come from the hood, who had doctorate degrees. They know the black experience, too. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't about no moral authority. Sit down and learn something. Because you could have made a difference for 192,000 lives that were within Senate District 19 in Davidson County. Sit down and be quiet and be humble enough to learn, and you may be able to use that for the benefit of somebody. But their pride got in the way right then, 3072.
Exactly.
And nobody got anything.
Right.
Right, come before the fall, don't it?
Watch out now. Watch out now. All I'm saying is, we have to realize that part of the breakdown in the unity. By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is Talk Straight, and they on fire tonight. We were talking how to bring back unity in urban America. We have to, people, claim for ourselves a standard.
Hmm.
And we have to hold to that standard. We can't let nobody define that standard for us. I mean, people can help you, that's fine, but they should never define you, who you are, and what your standard is. But when, to your point, 3072, when you allow the lure of a little fast change to change your standard and your morals and your ethics and what have you, then you got a problem.
Yeah.
That's one of the unintended consequences of welfare. Unfortunately, I grew up watching generations of young ladies be born, give birth to children, and become grandmothers and great-grandmothers, all of them on welfare. I'm a welfare baby now. Don't get me wrong. But this cycle has got to end at some point. Am I wrong about that, Pastor Walker?
No, there's no way to be wrong about something that needs to be stopped. I mean, certain things that is in the Bible that if you knowledge of it, I mean, it's okay to apply it.
And hey, Mr. Dockery.
Hold on one second, ahead, Don. Hold on. You want to yield, Pastor? All right, go ahead, Don.
Go ahead, Don. Why don't we have an underground railroad back to the land?
Don, because some people going to want to go east, some going to go west, and others going to say, no, I'm going to go over here in the south. You know what I'm saying? Before you start trying to take off anywhere, first of all, I keep hearing people say we. Well, who are you talking about? Who is we?
Right.
Because if you're not together, if you're not unified, guess what? You're going in a different direction. That's like a Leviathan, a beast with multiple heads.
Mm.
Guess who we got on the line, Pastor Waller?
Who was that?
That beautiful lady out of Peoria, Illinois, 8112.
Oh, she just stepped up now. Welcome.
How you doing, man?
Doing tonight?
Good.
In the whole area. I know what his dialogue was, but I wasn't here to listen to. I was here, but hey, I wasn't on the air. So I thank you guys.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in. We got another about 18 minutes here. We're going to wrap up. We've been talking about how to bring back unity in urban America. Now, Outcast. I don't mind helping those in rural America, suburban America, or any other parts. But I am definitely going to do everything I can to help improve the quality of life and improve the plight of urban America. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is
it? Mm-mm.
Well,
that can be done.
You know, not necessarily, you know, but I do understand why there's separation when it comes to that. If you, as being a black man, brown man, whatever, go into a white setting and try to teach them, you have an idiot. You don't have the moral authority or the credentials to stand up and tell us white people what to do. So, therefore, stick with everyone in America.
I tell you what, that day I was a little hot, man. Because when they packed up, man, they took all that $50 million back to the controller for the state, and it wound up going back to Washington, D.C., man. I'm like, what?
Mm.
I could have used all 50 of those, B.
Mm.
And they made a difference with them.
But, Mr. Doctor, I got a question to answer.
Oh, okay.
Moral
is,
you know, to try to help everybody, you know. But sometimes you have to stick with your own color, keep it moving. And I hope that Don take that.
All right, go ahead, Don.
Mr. Dockery, what I don't understand, you know, Nashville is my home. You know, Dixon County is really my home. But what I don't understand, how are you building from Vanderbilt downtown and putting all that economics in there, and you take the $50 million and go back to where now?
To D.C., man.
I don't understand that. You developing from Vanderbilt to downtown, but $50 million come out of neighborhood. You take it in, huh?
You want me to answer that for you? You want me to answer that for you, Don?
Go ahead, help me out.
I'll be happy to answer.
I won't know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, all of it came from the community block development grants that Nixon started back in '74. But the reality is, it's up to your congressman and your senator, state senator, and House representative to look out for your interests. Now, they did the right thing by sending these black women who were educated to train us preachers on how to qualify outcasts and meet the application requirement. But some of us preachers were so big-headed that we got in our own way.
Right.
So
right.
We got to understand that when these opportunities come, you got to make sure you avail yourself appropriately. You don't know what you're talking about. Sit down and be quiet. Let somebody else do it. And you understand what I'm saying.
There you
we'll
go.
Get it right.
There you are.
But, Pastor, I just got on the line. If I may intervene, sir.
Go ahead.
When they do these things, and as you guys call it, I don't call it urban America. I call it the ghetto.
But guess what? It ain't just about, because some great people came from the ghetto and they still coming.
Okay.
My point is, what happens when these quote unquote so-called people of all this power and education do the wrong thing? They step them to the left when they're supposed to step to the right. And there's a lot of them out there that is as crooked as two left, one on one feet. You got left foot and right feet, right? Or foot, however y'all want to call it. But they walking around with their high heel shoes on, male and female, and they all of a sudden got so caught up, they forgot about what the hell they supposed to be doing. Excuse me,
now,
happened to urban America.
And that is my point. So that is my point, and that is the social disconnect that is in place now. That's
I ain't even been on here for all this time. I've been the whole power, every power in my house. I tried to do talk-a-tone. It won't even work. It's called the new, whatever they call it, communication. I still don't like it.
Okay.
Here, I supposed to been able to call y'all off the talk-a-tone. Couldn't even get that. Or if I need that, I could call 911.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad you got us. I'm glad you got us and you're all right.
I'm glad they could still go cut the power back off.
Okay.
I'm just meddling right now on that.
No, no, you're okay. You're okay. So, so let's wrap this
That's real.
Let's wrap this up like this. I'd like to revisit those three things because I believe the answer lies in those things. When we realize that whatever our religious faith is, if it is causing us to be at odds and divided from our brothers and sisters, maybe we need to check that. Maybe we need to check that thought, that belief system. Then
I agree.
And if there are three things I believe, Don, that a righteous man needs to have in place. And I got this from your dad, Don, in order for him to be successful. If you want to go after a business or a money-making venture, it should first give God the praise, and then Dr. Belville said it should then serve a public need, and lastly, it should help you sustain yourself. Now, if the money we're going after and the material and the wealth is not based on those principles, I think we need to check ourselves, right?
Well,
I'm talking about getting unity back in urban America now. Then lastly, brother, I ain't talking to nobody on this line, but I'm speaking in general. Before you go trying to holler at some little girl and get in her, between her legs, go get yourself together and be ready to start a family so you can raise the children.
Yes, sir.
I wish I had a witness.
Sir.
Right?
All right.
Always trying to chase something down to get up on something, and you ain't ready to rub two nickels together and make them warm.
To even smell it.
Watch out, 37.
Again. I had a chance to rub my big old mouth tonight. I'm trying to get it in next minute.
Go ahead right quickly. 8112, what'd you say?
I think the last time I heard you guys on the air, we were talking about how to reunite. It took a lot of people of different cultures to make you undivided. If you are undivided, you are not standing as a whole. And people were separated, I do believe, as a whole. But our forefathers, my forefathers, worked very hard to unite their families back in the day.
Okay.
They did what they were supposed to do, whether they stepped outside or whether they did not. I believe those were some strong urban American men.
Yes,
and we still got some out here as young black urban American men. They're still doing. We got a whole lot of them. I heard about 15 of them standing life in prison today on the news.
Okay.
So the work, the due diligence would take more than one day.
Well,
it
that's true.
It is a struggle, and I appreciate you brothers for doing what you're doing, but it's going to take a lot more than what we're talking about on the radio, saying it is a great start.
Can I tell you something, 8112?
Yes, sir.
Can I say something? If
yes,
I
sir.
Did what it was going to really take, they put me in jail. I'd be under jail.
I know this. That's what I'm talking about. So
and
you
they don't
answer.
Really want me to fix the problem for them because they put
but
me in jail.
But you better not fix the problem. Do like they do. Find some partial solutions.
Well,
and
no, we won't find a whole
solution. That credibility.
Okay.
Okay. Then you fix it.
And here's the problem.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. That's what Gil Scott was saying when he said the revolution won't be televised. See, because the change started with you. But what has happened is we haven't woken up from our deep sleep, Pastor Waller, long enough to realize what time it really is. And that's what has to happen. We have to ring the bell and shake us.
It's revolution. We live in revolution.
And I'm not talking, you know, I'm not talking about any racial divide. I'm just talking about you waking up and doing, realizing who you are and doing for yourself.
And,
yes, sir.
And?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
And may I add, while people are doing their parts and the pastors and all of these activists and fighters like Dr. King, let's not, if they have to defend their lives and lose their lives in the process, let's not let that be a void. So our young brothers today that are trying to stand up need to recognize that, hey, we don't need to let this go all voided. We need to do something to right. So this can mean something, not just another news segment. Not just another news segment.
That's right. I was at a function this past weekend. It was entitled Rebrand the Black Man, and very interesting concept. I'm gonna see if I can have Dr. Webb to come on and share with us that concept real soon. But I mean that's kind of where they're going, 37. That's essentially where they're trying to go with that. Great point. Man, look at, we got 8 minutes.
Can you?
I don't want y'all to go. Let me just say, this Thursday I have a campaign related event, so Pastor Waller is going to be holding things down. Now, I said, what you gonna talk about, bro, preacher? He said there is a change coming. And watch this done. And watch this done.
That's what
he
I heard.
Said,
change.
Hey, 8112. He said, not only is the change coming, but you better get ready.
you supposed to already be ready because you don't know when it comes.
Yeah, he said, you better get ready. So, Pastor, you want to give us a little snippet of that, man? And Thursday night, 7 o'clock, he'll be in the house. Y'all come on back with him. And tell your friends and family, Facebook friends, tell your folks, come on and join Pastor Waller as he come and bring another. A stirring topic for the show. Pastor, you want to say anything about that right quickly?
Well, yeah, I think it's important to put great emphasis on the power of change and to know there is a change coming. You know, and that's why I say just simply get on board, you know, and you don't have to go about buying a ticket or anything like that. Just simply be able to have a beat to hear because the power will come in at you. And when you hear, you start to apply it, and then you become a doer of what it is. Can be done.
Yeah.
We won't elaborate too much on the problem. We will get into the solution. That's where the change takes place at.
Right.
You want to put a little, you know.
Okay. So you saying it's members only, it's a private party. Don't bring your checkbook.
All right.
Let's bring your
profile.
Is that what you're saying?
No. Just get on board and just be open, you know what I mean? And receptive to change, man. I mean, that's what we deserve. We deserve change, and it's power in it. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So let's get it in.
Amen. Okay, all right. Don, give me a final thought before we get out of here, man. We got about 6 minutes, brother.
I'm going to say this. I'm glad that, you, like I said, the radio program is on, Mr. Docker, because you are shaking things up here in Selma. Believe it or not. And they are paying attention, believe it or not. You know what I'm saying? There's many ears and many eyes. And I see the effective change from y'all in Nashville by communicating there in Davidson County. It has a direct effect here in the deep south here. And I see that, Mr. Dockery, and that's when I said the program is real good, and that's what I see here in Selma.
Well, glory be to God.
Change.
Glory be to God. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. All right. Final thoughts there, 31, 3072.
No, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing. Pastor Waller, I hope that I'm, man, able to be a part of the show on Thursday, and I'm just proud of you guys. Let's keep it up.
Appreciate you being with us there. 8112, what about it? Give me a final thought. You tell me I'm pretty, 8112. Say you pretty.
I don't feel pretty, Anton. I thank God for Jesus. I'm here, and I'm able to do what I do. And I thank you also, as my girl said, that I appreciate you. I would try to tune in. Lord bless me to live and see it. Also, as well, you guys have started something.
Uh-oh.
And as our forefathers, they started something, and they died to the depths, so they still hold on to that. And I respect that, and I will try to contribute the best I can, even if it's in my big mouth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I bless you all.
Well, we sure appreciate you. We sure appreciate you. 8112 out there for Mama Diane.
I think
that's what they call you in Peoria, don't they? Mama Diane.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mama Diane. Okay, Outcast, give us a final thought, man, before we get out of here.
Give it to Don.
Well, Don was finished. I'll turn it over to Pastor Waller. Pastor, we got about 3 minutes here. Anything you want to lead us into Thursday there, feel free to go ahead.
Pray for us all. That's what you do best, the wife. Pray for us all.
Yes, Lord.
We will be doing that as well. You know, and I like to put great emphasis on.
I ask, pray for us all. We need God. And then whenever anybody gets through, pray for us right now, please, sir.
She's requesting for you to pray for on the air, Pastor, when you finish.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to let brotherly love continue according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. And that's what it states. It says, let brotherly love continue. So as long as we continue, we will be able to reap what brings forth change. All right, let us pray. Almighty and all-wise God, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. That name that is above every name. We take time out right now to say thank you. Lord God, I ask you to touch under the sound of my voice. One by one, collectively. We thank you for this broadcast, Lord God. We know that we are touching and agreeing, and we just want to magnify your behavior and powerful name. Do for us what you're unable to do for our people. And this is all said and done. We will be quick to give you the praise, the glory, as well as the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God all together,
amen.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Pastor Wallace.
Oh, yeah, you're very welcome. Praise
right.
God for you. Thank
With
God
that,
for the ladies. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, go. I'm proud. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, I wanted to let Brother Outcast and Brother Don know how much I appreciate them, man, and everything they have to offer. And those young ladies, you know, I got much love for them. And for all of those who are listening, who are tuning in, that didn't get a chance to respond, make comments or questions, but we do ask them to just tune in and know that the continuation have power, and that's what changed. Back over to you, Pastor.
Okay, so we won't have the live stream Thursday night, but we will be online with the blog talk. So join us here.
Yeah,
the number
we can
6573830944 for you to call in live and participate in the dialogue. But we will do a Facebook post with that information, though. But we thank you all again for tuning in to this episode of Talk Straight, How to Bring Back Unity in Urban America. This is your host, Reverend Doctor, and again, we'll be away, but Pastor Waller will be in the studio, and he will be bringing any conversation. So please join us. www.bfcinstitute.com is the webpage. Learn more about us and support our cause. And until then, we're going to see you on this coming Thursday, 7:00 p.m., Pastor Ricky Waller will be in and carrying on another good conversation for Talk Straight.
Amen.